You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to continue our series this morning on the blessings of redemption. This is part 4, your redemption from the curse of poverty. We've been using Galatians 3:13 as our basic text, and it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. Now look at verse 29. This is so significant. If you have not memorized these scriptures, you need to. It says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I've already preached on two of those curses, which was spiritual death and sickness. Today I'm going to talk about poverty, because the curse of the law brought spiritual death, it brought sickness, and it brought poverty. Amen? The curse of the law. But in today's message, I'm going to deal with how to get debt-free and how to live under the blessings of God. My subject, the blessings of redemption, part 4. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. You are a chain breaker, Lord, and you came to break every chain. And Lord, we just praise you, Lord, for illuminating our hearts and our minds with the word of God. Our culture does not teach these principles. Lord, most churches do not teach these principles. But Lord, you touched my heart and ignited it with fire to preach these things. And I praise you, Lord, for that. Thank you for illuminating my mind, Lord, so every chain could be broken. Now, Lord, illuminate the minds of your people so every chain can be broken. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Poverty is not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. And God does not want you living under a curse. God wants you blessed. Yet too many of God's people, they live under a financial curse. Now, I just read to you that God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Yet many of God's people, they never have enough. We serve the El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, and he wants you to have more than enough. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. How many of you have a covenant with God? That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers as it is this day. Money, my friends, is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. But God wants you to have plenty, because you're not like the world. When you got saved, Jesus came to break the chain of spiritual death, sickness, and disease. And you will have to use your faith, and you'll have to learn how to fight using the word of God. Now, I could preach in a lot of directions with this thing. Jesus overcame the devil with the word of God in his wilderness experience. He said, it is written, it is written. Guess what? We're to suit up. Jesus took the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. If you go back to the nation of Israel, how did they win that battle? God anointed them, and they took swords, and they fought, and they took the land. Jesus took the sword. He fought, and he overcame the devil. We're to suit up, put on the whole armor, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we can win every battle. That's the only way you'll win in this fight, because you're not wrestling flesh and blood. When Jesus comes in the book of Revelation, a sharp two-edged sword is going out of his mouth, and he will defeat Antichrist and all his hosts. Hallelujah. So God has given us the sword of the Spirit. God gives us power to get wealth. Look at Proverbs 10:22. The Bible says, the blessings of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I can already feel some of the stuff coming back at me. You know, I'm here to free you from some bondages today. You've got to get your mind set upon what God says. Now, God, his blessings make you rich. He has no sorrow with it. That does not mean that everyone will be a millionaire. But it does mean that all your need will be supplied according to God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and that you will have plenty to bless others. The dictionary defines riches as a full supply or having abundant possessions, especially material wealth. Now, God has listed the blessings and God has listed the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And God said, if you will obey me, if you will keep my commandments, I will bless you. It's just that simple. Don't violate God's word because you're tying God's hands to where he cannot bless you. God said, if you'll obey me and keep my commandments, I will bless you. He said, I will bless the fruit of your body. Hallelujah. He said, I will bless the fruit of your ground. He said, I will bless you with increase. God said, I will command my blessings upon you if you will only obey me. Look at Deuteronomy 28 and 8. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouse and in all thou settest thy hand unto. God says, you shall be plenteous in good. Your storehouse is your bank account, by the way. Look at Deuteronomy 28 and 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens to give rain unto the land in its season, to bless all the works of thy hand. Thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord, verse 13, shall make thee the head, not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Now, those are some beautiful, wonderful promises, aren't they? But notice this one clause. If you want the blessings, here it comes. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. But you cannot break God's commandments and have the blessings that God has commanded and has planned for your life. Now, look at Deuteronomy 28, 15. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. That's your bank account and your financial resources. But it even gets worse as you disobey God. Look at Deuteronomy 28:18. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Christ has redeemed us, church, from the curse of the law. But you cannot break God's laws and expect to walk in prosperity. Let me say that again. He said, bring all. What does all mean? All the tithe means all of it. It doesn't mean to tempt God. It doesn't mean to hold back some of it to go on vacation. It means all. You cannot rob God and expect to walk in the blessings of prosperity. You cannot rob God of tithes and offerings and have the blessings of God that he has planned for your life. Look at Malachi 3 and 6. God said, for I am the Lord, I change not. He said, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, you got covenant, and because of my goodness, I'm not going to consume you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to straighten you out. I'm going to send a prophet with a word that will help you. Amen? Malachi 3 and 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. Isn't he a good God? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven, that is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's pretty blessed right there, isn't it? Return unto me, I will return to you, saith the Lord. But you said, wherein shall we return? Look at this, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, when have we robbed thee? God said, in tithes and in offerings. Look at verse 9. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even the whole nation. Verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, into the local church where you get your blessings, that there may be provision in my house. Prove me, God says. Prove me now with, saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. He can fight your battle, let me tell you. He'll make you the head and not the tail. He'll make you the lend and not the borrow. I'm looking at people that are blessed. I remember many of you, when I started out, I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to have plenty. And I can tell you one thing. I like having plenty a whole lot more. Anybody out there want to give the Lord a clap off and a praise for that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that may be meat in my house. Prove me now with his, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I read you the definition, supernatural abundance. Let's just put it on down to where it is. God said, I will bless you with supernatural blessings. I'll give you land. I'll give you houses. I'll give you wells. I'll give you herds. I'll give you whatever you need, because I'm the El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. I'm your heavenly Father, and you have covenant with me. So open up your heart, open up your faith, and ask me to open the heavens. Obey me, and I will, and pour you out a blessing that'll not be room enough to receive it. Somebody go on and call, praise God. You see, in this passage, the Lord is calling his people to return unto him, and they said, herein shall we return. You know, most people that gripe and complain about tithing, they don't tithe. They don't. Most people say all the church wants is your money. They don't tithe. They don't give offerings. They're selfish. They hoard everything, and they're putting their money in a bag that has a hole in it. It has a hole, and they will never have enough because of disobedience. I'm trying to break something off your life. See, He says, return to me, and I will return to you. They said, when shall we return? And God begins to talk to them about money. Money. God said, you have tied my hands because you have broken my commandments, and you have not tithed and given offering. God is saying, I want to bless you, but you have robbed me of the opportunity to bless you and to open the windows of heaven because of your disobedience. So you cannot rob God of tithes and offerings and have the fullness of his financial blessings. Most people are poor, not because they have honored God, but they are poor because they have dishonored God. I want you to look at the basic text in my series once again, Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did he do that? That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles as you and me through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the fullness of the promise through faith. It's a faith fight. You will have to lay hold of everything I'm talking about by using your faith, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You'll have to obey God. And if you'll do that, eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's not even in the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Now look at Galatians 3:29, because this is where the blessings come from. If you've been Christ, if you're Christ, if you've been born again, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now Abraham was a wealthy man, and guess what? Abraham was a tither. You want some word for it? Look at Hebrews 7:1. Abraham had been out fighting a war. And for this Melchizedek, he met him, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. He blessed Abraham. Look at verse 2, Hebrews 7:2. To whom Abraham gave the tenth part of all, the tithe. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, Jesus. Huh. That's a theophany. Christ appeared to him in the Old Testament. He's a man without beginning of days, and that's another sermon. Say, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness. After that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. And the Bible says Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Therefore, if Abraham paid seed of all that he had to Melchizedek, we should pay our tithes, all of it, to the Lord if we want the blessings of Abraham. If you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Now, don't let the devil rob you of your New Testament blessings because of disobedience. You're not ignorant, because we have given you seed time, harvest time, and we preach these principles over and over again. And if you're living under a financial curse, I'm going to show you why. I'm giving you the word first, and then I'm going to show you some management techniques, okay? So look at this, Hebrews 7 and 8. He of men that receive, that die, receive tithe. But he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. The scripture that is talking about Jesus. Now, from a natural standpoint, we just worship God with our tithes and offerings. It looked like men on here on earth, people that will all die, received the tithe. We just witnessed that. But Jesus, the head of the church, he received your tithe, looking down from heaven at the right hand of his majesty on high. Hallelujah. And he ever liveth. He lives to make intercession for the saint. He is praying for you right now that you will get what I am preaching. He is ever living to intercede for the saints. He paid tremendous price to redeem us, and he wants you to have the full blessings that I read to you earlier. You see, Abraham's blessings, the blessings that he got by keeping God's word, they are ours because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross. He redeemed us. Jesus is alive forevermore, and the blessings of Abraham, they include financial prosperity. God wants you to prosper. But your physical and material prosperity, they depend upon your spiritual prosperity. Let me say that again. God wants you to prosper, but your physical and your material possessions, they all depend upon your spiritual prosperity. God told the Israelites, walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, do that which is right in my sight, and the number of your days I will fulfill. That's physical prosperity or divine health, my friends. Hallelujah. The Lord also talked to the Israelites about their basket and their store being blessed, their bonds being filled, and about them being the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. That's material prosperity. But notice that their physical and their material prosperity, it depended upon their spiritual prosperity. That is also true in the New Testament. Look at this. 3 John 2, Brother Woody, you love this one. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. If you will keep God's commandments, if you will seek him, you will find him. When you search for him with all of your heart, he's a good God. He loves you. He gave heaven's best to redeem you. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all on the cross. And the Bible says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said, don't be concerned about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or how you shall be clothed. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows you're lying down. God knows you're rising up. And God knows the thought and intent of your heart. I love that about God. Sometimes I'm a misunderstood person, but my heavenly Father, he never misunderstands me. He knows the thought and the intent of my heart. You cannot con God. You may con a lot of people, but I promise you something. You cannot con God. And that's what I love about God. He looks at the heart. And when he sees a heart that will forgive, a heart that will love, a heart set upon things above, a heart that's not set upon the things of the earth. I told my wife, I said, it amazes me. Look around you. Look at all this stuff. I never sought stuff. I just sought him. And look at what the Lord has done. Go on, praise God. You live in there. If you're not, you can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That tells me that you cannot live with a poverty mentality and expect abundance. If you have a poverty mentality, no matter how much money you get, there is something inside of you that gravitates back toward zero, toward being broke. If you don't believe that, just watch the news. Watch the lives of people who get rich quick. Watch some of the rap stars. Watch some of the sport figures who make millions of dollars and they end up broke. They never had anything. They don't know how to handle money, and they end up broke. One man in West Virginia, he won $450 million in the lottery, and now he is broke. He never had anything up to that point. He won $450 million, and now he is broke. How do you have hundreds of millions of dollars and end up broke? My. It's because if you have a poverty mentality, if that is not broken off of your life, you will always go back to zero, to being broke. And today I want to share three mentalities that poverty is based on. Number one, poverty is based on a mismanagement mentality. Secondly, poverty is based on an entitlement mentality. And thirdly, poverty is based on a victim mentality. If you ever get any one of these three mentalities in your life, if it is not broken, you will go broke and you will never, never, never have enough. Number one, the mismanagement mentality. Most of the parables that Jesus talked about in the scriptures, they were about properly managing what you have. God has given everybody some stuff, okay? God talks about being a good steward. Are you managing what God has put in your hand properly? Are you following good biblical principles, and are you following good sound financial principles? Jesus talks about the talents, which is money, and he talks about the management of money. And the bottom line is this: you don't ask for more and you don't get any more until you properly manage what you've already been given. If you rent a house, if you don't take care of that house, don't ever expect to own a house. And if you don't want to own a house, and if you don't have a desire to own a house, and if you don't start investing in a house, guess what? You will rent for the rest of your life. Look at Luke 16 and 10. Now, this is Jesus preaching. He's a good preacher. How many believe Jesus is a good preacher? I'm just talking about some good, sound, solid, practical preaching this morning. Luke 16, 10, Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is must." If you're faithful in the least, you'll be faithful in much. "And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." God said, don't ever ask me for more unless you're doing what you should be doing, what you already have in your hand right now. The Bible says God gives seed to the sower. I just sold a house, and I took the house I bought, and I had the money. I didn't have to borrow the money, but good business sense told me, borrow that money, use the bank's money, sell your house, then pay the other off. I never touched investments. I sold that house, and I touched. My wife and I prayed about it. Now, I could have gone out and done a lot of things with that money. I could have invested it, but I'm going to show you why you don't do that in a story I'm going to read to you right out of the Bible, okay? I paid the house off, and today, it's all paid for, and I am so glad to be rid of the other one. I don't have to cut the grass. I don't have to do anything over there. I don't have to worry about the storms. Hallelujah. I wanted to sell it to do what I should do, and I prayed about it, and God showed me exactly what to do. Hallelujah. But God says, don't ever ask me for more unless you are doing what you should be doing with what you have right now. I made no money on that house. I lived in it free, but when I added it all up, I made no money. But I said, God, you have put seed in my hand, and I've gave money to this church, half of it, what I promised the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to sow this much into your kingdom. God loves a cheerful giver. And then I've been blessing missionaries. I helped with that church. I've helped send money to a TV station in Africa. I've sent money to people that they are in a tight right now. But, you know, I'll teach them if they want to know how to get out of that thing called poverty. Don't spend everything you have. When your expenses exceed your income, guess what? You're headed for a downfall. Get wise. I'm trying to help some people. Hallelujah. So the Bible says God gives seed to the sower. And many times God gives people a windfall, an inheritance, or something else. And instead of honoring God with the tithe, they mismanage what God has already given them. And when you do that, you rob God of the opportunity to bless you. I looked at all that money in my hand. I said, God, I'm going to give this amount. And I did. And it just thrills me to be able to do that. I couldn't do that when I started. It took everything that I had to just pay the bills and keep my head above the water and take care of my children and take care of my home and my finances. God said, you're the one I put the responsibility on. The man is the head of the house. Suit up. Stand up. Make something of your life. Take care of your family. Quit counting on anybody else to do it. God put you in charge. Go on, take your place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And love your wife and do the things she would like to have. I told Teresa, I said, I wouldn't have a whole lot of stuff without you. I'd just have a lot of money. But I got stuff because she likes to spend money. And I'm so glad I looked through that place and I said, Teresa, it's beautiful. You've done a beautiful job. Now, I managed the project, but she did all that other, and it's just so beautiful. We're going to have a cookout for you guys this fall, weather permitting, and we're going to invite you to come over. Hallelujah. Amen. See, don't rob God of the opportunity to bless you. He gives seed to the sower. And if you got a seed, let me tell you something, you're not broke. God gives seed to the sower. You're not broke if you got a seed. But nothing times nothing equals what? Nothing. And if you don't sow your seed, you will never reap a crop. And if you mismanage what God has given you, you have caused your own problems. Let me say that again. If you mismanage what God has given you, you have caused your own problems. Everybody can have a setback. Oh, we had one of those. My wife's job was eliminated. But I was in prayer that morning, and God spoke to me, and I've got it written down, and God said, I'll open the windows of heaven for you. I went through 3 years of some having to watch exactly what I did. But at the end of those 3 years, God opened the windows of heaven. They've been opened ever since. And God wants to open them over your life, over all of his covenant people's life. Amen? Don't rob God of the opportunity to bless you. Amen. Look at this right here, Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He said, I'll cause men to give to you. But with the same measure that you measure it out to others, God said, I'll measure it back to you. If I've got a cheerful heart, God's heart's going to be cheerful. Woo! Goodness and mercy. Woo! They're on my trail everywhere I go. I can't get away from them. Hallelujah. Glory. Go on, praise God. Can't get away from them. Goodness and mercy. Glory to God. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from spiritual death. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from financial disruption and poverty. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. All to him I have resigned. Praise God. I have been redeemed. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah. My Lord. It makes no sense for anyone to violate God's word and then to expect him to bless you with more. Jesus said, if you are not faithful in the little, you will not be faithful in that which is much. I had an individual who was my brother. He's in heaven today. He said, Jerry, if I was a millionaire, I'd give you $100,000 to help you in your ministry. I said, how about give me that $20 that's in your back pocket? He said, no, I can't do that. I said, that's right. If you had $1 million, you wouldn't give me $100,000 either. I know the scriptures. If you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful with much. Amen. Everybody wants to put it off until when I have this, when I have this, when I have that. God said, start where you are. You can't start where somebody else is. Amen. See, there are spiritual laws that regulate God's financial system. And I'm giving you spiritual laws, and I'm going to give you practical laws along with it. Three of those spiritual laws is faith, giving, and obedience. Let me say that. Faith. You mean I can Take your checkbook and see how much faith you got. All I got to do is look how many checks you write for entertainment, how many you write for food, how many you write to the church, how many you write to bless other people, and I can tell whether or not you're tight or whether you want God's financial blessings. Amen. Faith, giving, and obedience. They are the three things that will cause prosperity to flow to you. Tithing helps you control your money. And if you cannot control 10% in tithe, how can you control abundance? I'm just talking good practical preaching right now. Not only is poverty based on a mismanagement mentality, but secondly, poverty is based on an entitlement mentality. If somebody gets the entitlement mentality, they think that somebody else owes them. That's it. That's what it is. Now, I need to speak this to you. Nobody owes you anything. Let me say that again. Nobody owes you anything but to love you. Amen. You are not entitled to anything if you don't work. When the soldiers returned from World War II, the government created what is known as the GI Bill. That was not a giveaway program. That was not entitlement. That was an investment that the United States government made in our troops when they returned home from the war. Many of these men, they went to college on the GI Bill, to trade schools on the GI Bill. And they graduated, and guess what they did? They went to work. They were educated. They had developed skills, and they had developed trades, and they developed businesses, and they developed professions. Yes, and they paid the money back to the government hundreds of times over in the form of income taxes. I had a college professor, Dr. Swain. He's on up in age now. I think he's still on the planet. Last time I saw him in the bank, he was there with his son. But he told me, he said, the GI Bill is what they did to invest in you, Jerry. He said, they want you to pay more taxes. I got a hold of that thing. Guess what? I graduated, and I have paid more taxes. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad to pay them. We got a windfall one time. God said, I'll open the windows of heaven. I sold some stock, and I got a landslide. And I was so happy to pay those tithe and the taxes. And when people at the plant, they complained and complained. I can't stand paying all this tax. I said, Lord, send it on down so I have to pay them again next year. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nobody owes you anything, and you're not entitled to anything. Amen. And as long as you have an entitlement mentality, you will never prosper. You will never have financial freedom. President Donald Trump, let's talk a little politics. He's a businessman, and he knows that if he will give tax breaks to the big business, they will invest money in factories, and that will create jobs. The Democrats want to they want to criticize him because of the tax break. The tax breaks are given as economics 101. It is given so that those major corporations will invest dollars here in America and that they will create jobs. And guess what? When jobs are created, the people who get their jobs, they will go to work, pay income taxes, and their income taxes that the people pay and the corporations pay, they provide the revenue for highways, for education, for the social programs, for your trash pickup, and for the lights on the streets, and everything that you'll ever get because they are paid for the benefit of the American people. Go on, praise God as you live in America. Hallelujah. We are Americans, and we live in the land of opportunity. And if someone can work, they need to get off of their blessed assurance, and they need to go to work. Hallelujah. Because as long as you have an entitlement mentality, you will never prosper. Nobody owes you anything. First of all, poverty is based on a mismanagement mentality. Secondly, poverty is based on an entitlement mentality. Thirdly, poverty is based on a victim mentality. You must learn to control your money. Money is always changing hands. So don't talk to me about a bad economy. You've got to get control of your money, and you've got to get your thinking right, and you've got to attack your lack. Money is always changing hands, and it's time for some of that money to get in your hands, in my hand. Jesus said, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Am I preaching good? Am I preaching the word? All right. Now, I want you to look at the woman in this story, 2 Kings 4:1. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did his fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. The man died, and he left a tremendous debt behind. Here's this woman in a situation she did not create it, and she could have adopted a victim mentality. Her husband died, and now the creditors, they're coming to take her sons to pay that debt that he left. And so now what began as a situational lack suddenly becomes a generational lack. Do you see that? And that's what the devil wants to do in all of our families. Because if you don't stop a situational lack, it will become a generational lack. Have you ever seen people like that? It's a curse that follows them. Drunkenness, alcohol, drugs, all kind of stuff. Poverty. It first becomes a situational lack. And now the boys who didn't have anything to do with what the father had done, they become enslaved to his debt. A situational lack is magnified into a generational lack. And if you don't deal properly with that situational lack, it turns into a generational lack. The next generation has to get out of that financial hole that the prior generation has put them in. That is not God's will. I read you God's will. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Many times the enemy is trying to ensnare the family and produce a generational lack, a bondage there. But I want to tell you, Jesus is a chain breaker. He broke every chain. Hallelujah. Glory. Go on, praise God. Amen. I want to tell you something. You can break that mentality, that victim mentality, and it can be broken now, and it can be broken by you. I looked at my families. I looked at the things in our families on both sides that were wrong. God said, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap, make up the hedge for the land that I should not destroy. And I told the devil, I said, let me tell you something. God is looking for a man, and he found him in me. And I just started using the word of God and using good common sense and associating with myself with people that knew something and reading good books. If you don't read good books, guess what? You will never know any more than you know right now. Read, digest it, apply it, and make something of your life. Amen. See, you can break a poverty mindset. We believe in the God who lives. Amen. We believe that the gospel lives and that the gospel breaks every curse. And the God that we serve is the God of abundance. And it's so interesting in this story. The prophet tells someone who is in debt that if you want to deal with your problem, go borrow vessels and borrow not a few. Now, it's interesting to me that the prophet told someone in debt to go and create more debt. So that tells me there's good debt and there's bad debt. There's some good borrowing and there's some bad borrowing. Borrowing is not evil if you can make money by borrowing and investing it. This woman went and borrowed, and she made money off what she had borrowed. If you borrow money to buy a house, that house will appreciate as an asset. And instead of having to rent for the rest of your life, you'll eventually own your own home. If you borrow money to buy a dependable car to get to work, that's good debt. But because you can't get to work without a good, dependable car. Don't go out and buy a new one. I said, if you can't afford a new one, buy a good, dependable car. I bought luxury automobiles for years. I never bought a new one. I bought two new cars since 1979 when I bought the last one. But I buy some new ones now. But if I can find a good one that's got a few miles, it doesn't bother me. Still smells new. Still looks new. It's new to me anyway. Hallelujah. I bought my wife in 2004, I bought her a little white Lexus. We still got that car. I put a big bow on it. Lexus. She doesn't like it anymore. She likes to drive her Honda Pilot, which I bought new. But I didn't buy a new one. In 2019, I bought the 2018 that was new, and I saved a bunch of money. You know that little white car? You know how I paid for that? I paid for it off of money I had saved by buying pre-owned automobiles. That's how you do this thing. Don't live above your means. Just use some good common sense judgment. But this woman, she went and borrowed, and she made money off what she had borrowed. So if you borrow money to buy a big screen TV or a computer that you can't afford or the latest cell phone with internet that you can't afford, guess what? That's bad debt. If you borrow money to take a vacation that you cannot afford, that, my friend, is bad debt. Look at 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content means I'm happy to be right where I am until I can achieve the dream of financial freedom and great prosperity. I'm happy and I'm thankful for what the Lord has given me, and I'm going to use what God has given me wisely. And if I do that, and if I remember the Lord with tithes and offerings, He will bless me even more. Go borrow vessels, but be sure that you're borrowing so you can make something out of what you're borrowing. Now I want you to notice what he said next. Take what you have. Once it come in, once that money comes in, don't go crazy and buy some new rims for your car. Don't go out and buy some new furniture for your house. Take what you got. Isn't that what he said? Take what you've got and pay your debt. Is that in the Bible, Pastor? Sure it is. Look at this, 2 Kings 4:7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. Hallelujah. Go borrow vessels, take what you have, sell it, pay the debt, live on the rest. And if you will do that, you will stop a situational lack from becoming a generational lack. God, my friends, has given us the power to get wealth. And you don't have to live on the ragged edge of financial disaster. There is a path to financial freedom. And you can achieve financial freedom if you will take the principles that I have laid out today and apply them to your life. I close with this. It was in his own hometown that Jesus announced his mission to the world. Look at Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's quoting Isaiah, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And look at this. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord, Jesus was announcing Jubilee over 2,000 years ago. At Jubilee, all debts were canceled in that Hebrew economy. Jesus came to cancel all debt. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to heal. Jesus came to give you financial prosperity. Jesus announced his mission in his own hometown, and his people rejected him. The Bible says he came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. His own people rejected him. Everything Jesus did on the cross, he did it to redeem you and me and the whole world from the curse of the law. The curse of the law includes spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. It's sad. It's very sad, but it's true that most people in the churches of America, they've got a religious spirit, and they reject the complete gospel. The Bible says God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Jesus provided a complete redemption at the cross. And here's the good news. You can look at it, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's rise up. Let's not die in the wilderness like the Israelites did and say there are giants in the land. Suit up. Put on the whole armor. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you and gave himself for you. Christ always causes us to triumph. The blessings of redemption, they belong to you. Hallelujah. This Bible, my friend, is your inheritance book. Let us stand. Make much of it. Read its pages. Hide it in your heart. Become a doer of the word. Sing it, Pastor Ricky. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Come on. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name.
We love you, Lord. Thank you so much.
Sing like never before.
Lord, we're rich. We have you. We have a church family. We have families. We have friends.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Lord, you have blessed us going out. You blessed us coming in.
It's
been a great journey, Master. Hallelujah.